You on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon. Are you ready for Double Time with Double D? Go behind the scenes of the NFL and the game with Dave Duerson. We want to hear your words, too. Don't be afraid to speak up. Now, here's your host, Dave Duerson, Double D.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson. Today is October the 7th, 2010. And we just completed the first quarter of the National Football League season. And so many things have happened. You know, we have talked several times over the course of the summer and the offseason and what have you, that this, in fact, the entire offseason was the year of the quarterback. And it appears as though this first quarter of the NFL season, likewise, was the year of the quarterback. We've got at least seven quarterback changes that have taken place. And with the Philadelphia Eagles, we start off with Kevin Cobb, and he's not doing the job, gets banged up a little bit. Michael Vick takes over. Of course, he had been playing extremely great those first two games anyway. Becomes the designated starter and plays extremely well. Gets injured this past week in the first quarter in the battle of Michael Vick versus Donovan McNabb. But in the meantime, while all that was occurring, Michael Vick had become the NFC Offensive Player of the Month. I'm excited to be here with you. Looking forward to our show today. I've been off air for the last couple of weeks where I had played some of our greatest hits, if you will. And, in fact, last week's show I chose in particular because it got into the discussion. It was from Maui Part 2. It was when I was out in Maui for the Players Convention back in March of this year. But in particular, with that particular topic, we were discussing various things that surrounded back in 1987 when we, the players, decertified and had no bargaining unit. In other words, had no representative. The Players Association was no longer our representative, and we then sued for free agency. As a result of that, I attempted to give you guys a thorough education as to why decertification took place. We find ourselves today here at one quarter of the season being over, and eight of the NFL teams, of the 32, one quarter, if you will, of the NFL teams have voted to decertify in case the NFL does, in fact, go to a lockout after the season ends. We've got a very exciting show for you today. I want you right now to write down www.myspace.com/DennisNelsonMusic, DennisNelson Music, and check him out. He's going to be on the show on our latter half. He's a jazz recording artist who's doing some incredible things using music and sports and TV to reach kids and give them a positive message. We're also going to have on the show Tyrone Keyes, one of my teammates, a defensive end, who we call TKO. You guys will recall that I've had him on the show before. We've talked about the things he's doing with his foundation and has been doing for the last 25 years, and he's got some more exciting things that are taking place that are going to basically rock the world of education. And so we're going to give Ty an opportunity to discuss with you guys what's happening there. Gil Tyree is going to join us a little later on, who is our CBS sports analyst. But joining me immediately is our sports director, a great football player, a great brother, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. He hails from The Ohio State University. He is my frat brother, Ray Ellis. Ray, glad to have you with me.
Double D, it's always a good day whenever I can join you, man. That means we've been blessed with another day. And about some things that are relevant in this world. And, boy, I heard you take me back to the decertification days. But listen, if it works, don't fix it. If that's a strategy you got to use to get it done, you got to get it done.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, as you very well know, when we struck back in 87, we immediately sued the NFL and lost. And we lost because, in fact, the Players Association was still, in fact, our bargaining agent.
That's right.
And one of the federal judges who wrote the dissenting opinion, his name's David Doty, his dissenting opinion was so strong that it became the roadmap that we then used to beat the owners. And that was to decertify, eliminate the Players Association and Gene Upshaw as our bargaining agent, which allowed us as individual players to then sue for free agency. And as a result, some 6 years later, in 1993, we were successful. And that's why these guys are making the goo gobs of money they are today and why the owners are screaming about a lockout. The interesting thing to me, though, Ray, is that everybody's profitable. The average NFL team is profitable to net $60 million a year. So, you know, when is enough enough?
Well, you know, they always say the details is the devil's in the details. And as you said, when Judge Doty, you know, wrote that, all you had to do was look at it and plain as day, the answer or the solution to what we needed to do was right there. And, of course, you know, we followed suit. And, you know, the union as we know it was dismantled as a strategic move in order to get some of the success that the young man of today's game has been able to benefit, as well as the owners.
Absolutely.
So there comes a time, you know, many times in life, Dave, you know this, you know, it's not good to be greedy. And the NFL right now, and I'm not just going to say the NFL, but perhaps maybe even some of its players, because there are some issues that the players are faced with in terms of them spreading the wealth as well. And I think that's what everybody just needs to do. Let everybody enjoy the success of the game. The game belongs to everybody. You know, you can't have a game without players. You can't have a game without owners. You can't have it without the referees. You can't have it without all the supporting cast and all the vertical businesses. And you can't have a game without fans there. I mean, that's one thing about us. We always enjoy playing in front of packed houses. And
absolutely.
So let's just make it to the point where, you know, everybody benefits from it. And I think that the men will get together in a room someday, and they will realize enough is enough, and there will be an agreement. It would just be too embarrassing, and I continue to say that because it would simply be embarrassing that this greed factor has just destroyed, you know, the greatest game on earth, and that's football. And so, listen, at the end of the day, let's dot the I's, cross the T's, and you know, put their John Hancock down and let the young men go to work. And because I want to watch football, and I want to continue to talk about football because that's
absolutely
what we do here.
It's become the greatest game, certainly in the United States, overtaking baseball. And even right now, you know, the baseball playoffs have started. We saw last night Roy Halladay, you know, pitch a shutout. Only walking one batter, so only the second time in baseball history, and it's been 54 years since Don Larson pitched a perfect game. So, you know, we see those things, but the NFL is now America's game. And as you had mentioned about the owners and the players getting into a room and discussing this thing and getting it done, the president of the AFL-CIO has opened up his doors to sit down with both D. Smith and Roger Goodell, and he would be happy to mediate that conversation. So I'm hopeful that something will come from that. But as you had mentioned a few minutes ago, that there have been a number of players, in fact, every player who's playing in the NFL today has benefited from when we struck and then decertified and sued for free agency. But just yesterday, or in fact just today as far as his new employment, Randy Moss was able to, in fact, take advantage of what we were able to create in regards to free agency. his contract with the New England Patriots was going to be up at the end of this season, and he's still playing at an all-star level. And so he basically forced the Patriots' hands by saying that he, in fact, wanted a trade and that he would not be back in New England at the end of this season. So the only way that the Patriots could get any kind of compensation or any benefit out of having employed Randy Moss for these last several years was, in fact, to trade him, which they did yesterday, to the Minnesota Vikings for a third-round draft pick. And so it's another example, Ray, of the free agency system working to the benefit of the player, but also to the benefit of the team.
And Dave, man, I'm so glad that you explained it so thoroughly, and where you basically just broke it down in very simple terms for people to understand. And what I just want to, again, just, to continue on that example that you gave was the mere fact that before what would have happened is Randy would have walked away from the New England Patriots at the end of this season and would have no obligation to that team, nor would that team have any benefits coming in their direction had he signed with another team next year. And as you said, that was all a result of the strike and the free agency, that happened in 1986, of which for so many years the NFL fought against us. You know, I went through two strikes. They didn't want to look at the benefits that were there for them. They made us feel as players that we were being greedy, and it was just, it was a team game, and everything was about the I, and it was not about I. It was about what's best for a player, and it's also what's best for a team. And
absolutely.
So they inherit, I think they won't inherit, but they will get, as a result of that trade, a higher round draft pick than they received. They had to give up when they got him. When they got him, they had to give up a fourth. Here it is years later, and now they get a three in return for his departure.
There you go. Absolutely. And again, it just shows you that the system that is currently in place benefits both parties, the player side and the owners. The Minnesota Vikings, they immediately get a great player at the wide receiver position, which is what Brett Favre has been missing with the injuries to his star receiver. And then likewise with Percy Harvin having concussion and convulsion issues and some back-related issues as well, they get Randy Moss. By same token, though, with this trade, it also was reported today that the Minnesota Vikings got the Patriots' seventh-round pick. So, beyond just this year, even the Vikings benefit down the road, too, in terms of the future of the game. So both sides had extreme benefit, and I think that that's just the beauty of the way the National Football League has worked. Speaking of which, in terms of the National Football League, man, we talked the entire offseason about this year being, over the course of the offseason, the year of the quarterback. Quarterbacks were doing crazy things, Ben Roethlisberger and Vince Young and just, a number of guys, Sims with marijuana, et cetera. Michael Vick even had an issue that involved his family that because of the close proximity of the fact that he had a birthday party at the particular club where the gentleman was shot, he was brought into question again. But here we find ourselves, Ray, at the end of the first quarter of the National Football League season. There have been seven quarterback changes, but Michael Vick became a starter, and the NFC Offensive Player of the Month for the month of September. Ben Roethlisberger is just now coming off of his four-game suspension, and he goes from suspension to starter. Sam Bradford, the rookie, he goes from college to sensation with the Rams. And Charlie Batch, along with Dixon and Leftwich there with the Steelers, Charlie Batch gave the Steelers more than they asked for, more than they probably thought that they were going to get. So, it's just been an incredible beginning to the NFL season, and I'm just wondering, in terms of if there was such thing as a coach of the NFL coach of the quarter, would Mike Tomlin be the one that you would give that distinction to?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, Mike has probably won more games than anybody expected him to, with Ben, of course, not being in the lineup. Although I on one of the talk shows, Dave, I did see where somebody, and I forget who, may have picked them to go 3-1, but certainly the majority of people did not expect they would have that much success. And if it weren't, I think, for a couple mistakes in the end, they could possibly be 4-0. I mean, he has done a tremendous job as well as, but I also have to say the guys, and what's so good about the job he's done is because it's been multiple quarterbacks, too. It hasn't just been one. But exactly. They've shared a lot of success out in Kansas City as well, you know. But I would say that Mike Tomlin has done a tremendous job able to stabilize that team until Ben gets back. But now, if it weren't for the fact that, you know, a couple of the guys got hurt, and there was even a rotation when Ben was out of there, you know, he might be stuck in a position as, hey, do I want to rock the boat? Because we're doing pretty good without Ben. And yeah. If they had thought about getting rid of Ben because of the damage, and it'll be some ongoing stuff, I would imagine, that there's some residue that's going to, you know, stick on to Ben and the Steelers as a result of what the allegations were about Ben. But, and so because of the fact that there were multiple quarterbacks, I'd say we'd have to give it to him. But if not, I'd say the runner-up would have to go to the guys out there in Kansas City as well.
Yeah, no question about it. In fact, Kansas City's got two new coordinators as well, Charlie Weiss running the offense and Romeo Crennel running the defense.
Well, as I said about those guys, Dave, they're really back where they belong. Those are pro football coaches. The college game, absolutely, you and I both know, it's just a different game. And one of those guys, of course, is Charlie's over from Notre Dame. So you're aware of the fact that he went there to try to implement a system of which was very successful for him at the professional level. But at the professional level, you have the best athletes in the world.
That's
and
right.
It doesn't always – that system – and I've heard some people talk about systems – systems can be good, but I am telling you, you don't tell me that a system will work with average players, because it won't. You could otherwise, the Scabs would have been successful when we went on strike,
right,
back in the day, if systems worked with anybody in the system. You have to have the right personnel for that system to work.
No question about it. And in fact, Charlie Weiss had made the comment early on after accepting the Notre Dame job that his mere presence on the field was a competitive and schematic advantage.
I heard
and,
that.
We saw where that got him over the course of 5 years. But I had listed Romeo Crennel, who is the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, as my defensive coordinator, but more specifically as my coordinator of the quarter. Romeo took over a Kansas City Chiefs defense that was ranked 30th in the league last year, and he's turned those guys around where they're playing very stout defense, number 6 against the run, and number 20 and 21st against the pass, and they're getting better in their pass defense every week. So a lot of interesting things that are going on there. But I want to ask you too, Ray, in regards to Voice America Sports. You guys have a number of things that are going on there, but in particular with what you have done in relation to building up the radio side of it. You've got a number of new hosts who are on the show, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell my listening audience about some of the new faces, the new voices, if you will.
Well, Dave, I appreciate that.
And
that has, you know, been something that I've been very excited about. You know, recently, you know, we've had the addition of Jairus McIntyre. You know, Jairus has come to us. Jairus, as a matter of fact, is a former Kansas City Chief. Jairus is with us. Arturo Freeman, who formerly was with the Miami Dolphins. Arturo's been with us. Keenan Howry. Keenan's pretty excited because he's a former wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. And, of course, you know, he's excited about what's happening out there in Minnesota with the addition of course, Randy Moss. You know, and Randall Gatewood. Again, Gatewood was a former Miami Dolphins wide receiver, spent many years in the Arena League. We just had a number, Tony Bowie, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, has joined us in the fraternity of safeties. So, you know, I'm happy about that. And of course, we're waiting on Gil to join us. Gil Tyree, Emmy Award-winning Gil Tyree, of course, your friend and my friend as well, will be joining us here soon in the next few weeks. We also, Sean Salisbury. Sean's been doing an excellent job for us. As a matter of fact, Sean is on now 5 days a week and doing an outstanding job. So, you know, people like yourself, Dave, but people have taken notice to your shows, and Kwame Laster, of course, and Damian Anderson, of course, and Byron Evans and Mark McMillan, our high school show we have with Coach Scott Lovely. And it's because of the job that you guys have done. As a matter of fact, Derek Kennard was in California. He was in L.A. last week, I believe, watching his son, of course, who is a middle linebacker for the USC Trojans. And he acknowledged that he would be joining us, and the folks there in L.A. were very much aware of Voice America Sports and the things that we've been doing. So I attribute that to the success that you guys and the commitment that you guys have put into your show. And I want to thank Lemont Williams, who just was kind of, I call him, you know, we always talk about how we have those young gentlemen that fall up under us, and they become our mentees, and we become their mentors. And I'll tell you what, man, he's just been a genius at being able to take the vision of the network and spread it around. And one of the people, the first individuals he took it to, of course, was Guy Troop. And yes. Guy has done a tremendous job in helping players with their transition over at Troop 21. And also work with the NFL alumni. So it has been, you know, for me, it's been a dream come true. It gets the players, we get an opportunity to talk with each other and chop it up, as we say, to talk about a game that we love. But we also get an opportunity to share some information with the fans from a player perspective. And as Sean Salisbury says, it's unfiltered. We don't have to worry about our jobs. We don't have to worry about the company line. We're going to give it to you unfiltered. So I appreciate your show. I mean, not only just football, but beyond there. And I believe we got another guest on with us now, so I need to stop running my mouth. But I'm enjoying it, Dave. So thank you so much for that opportunity, man. And just you can listen to those shows throughout the day, Monday through Friday. And on Saturday, I will say, Keelan Johnson. Keelan is doing his show live at the Georgia Bulldog Stadium.
All right.
Before every game. Keelan has his show, and that's Keeping It Real with Keelan down there at the University of Georgia Stadium. So that's about it, Dave. I'm not going to plug that old terrible show we have called Rail of Sports. So I'm going to turn it over to you.
I tell you what, Ray. You know, you are you're much too kind and too humble, because it's because of you that I decided to come on the show, and that everybody else who you mentioned. Is on the show, and it is just that simple. And likewise, why Gil Tyree will be coming on Voice America Sports within the next couple of weeks as well. We're going to go right now to the phone line. We've got Tyrone Keyes joining us, Ray, for a conversation, and we want to bring him in. You guys know and love him as TKO, number 98 of the Chicago Bears. But today, and for the last 25 years, even during the time of his playing career, he's been running All-Star Community Services, which is a foundation that blesses young men and women with four-year scholarships, and they're doing some incredible things. Most of these individuals, in fact, sign a commitment to All-Star Community Service that they will, in fact, come back and give back to the community, many of whom have decided to go into the field of education as teachers and principals and what have you. So joining us on the show right now is my good friend, TKO, Tyrone Keyes. Ty, glad to have you joining us. Welcome to Double Time with Double D.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, brother.
It's good to have you, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's good to be doing the type of work that we've been doing. And first and foremost, like always, nobody can do it alone, and my former teammates, and this being a 25-year anniversary, man, and I know you were one of the first teammates of mine to support this effort. But one of the great things that we have going now is that the students that you and I assisted, actually one of the students that you helped me assist back in Chicago, he actually went on to become a school teacher.
Yes.
So now we are now partnering with this program called Urban Teaching Academy, and where a number of my students are actually teaching school at a place that I'm now housed out of. And what I want to share with you about that program quickly here is that now there's a curriculum in place for students who know that they want to become teachers, and they start taking the curriculum in the ninth grade. And those wow. students are now, they know what they want to be, man, and how fantastic it is to go to work every day knowing that you're working with a group of students who have a desire and the motivation to come back in and help the next generation. And what's standing before them daily are some of my former students who are now teaching at the school, and the other students are coming by to share their testimonials and the joy that they have in being a teacher.
Well, see, Ty, that's the thing that's so incredible. You may have been on hold as I was just thinking, Ray, and we were just discussing in regards to things that have happened with Voice America Sports and what we've been able to do using it as a platform, one, to educate our audience, educate our fan base in regards to the things that happen around the world of the NFL and pro sports, but more importantly, not so much the X's and O's. In fact, the least important thing that we discuss on my show are the X's and O's, but we go behind the scenes. We discuss what's happening in the locker room, what's happening at home, and how the families are affected by the life of stardom and the fact that the player is away for extended periods of time, along with the 6 weeks of training camp, the stresses associated with it all. And so I'm just real excited to have you on, to discuss what's going on with All-Star Community Services. You've got a program. I understand that a documentary was recently released that is called The Value of a Teacher. And I wish that you would expand on that for us.
Well, most definitely. The Value of a Teacher actually was released this past July 23rd. And it was a documentary that started off with me and my sixth grade teacher, who was very instrumental in coming into my life, and not just my life, but she came into the black community at a time when it was a time of unrest there in Mississippi. And believe it or not, it was 25 years ago that we were in Louisiana, and I shared the story. As part of the documentary was 25 years ago, we were standing right here in Louisiana, and you remember when Walter gave his little talk and said, "Let it all hang out,"
yes.
and you know, all those types of things, and everybody had some comments. Some of the captains had comments before the game and saying that we go out there and let it all hang out and take and then we were going to come back in as world champions. Well, here's a lady that came in when it was not fashionable to be the only person of color to come into a situation, and her community did not like it one bit, and she got threats from her community, and she stood the test of time, and so I just never forgot it, and we were able to find a news broadcast from 1971 that one of the students actually recorded, because back then we didn't have VCRs.
Mm-hmm.
And this student had the mind to record it with his cassette, and he taped over his Michael Jackson music and all of that, and he taped it, and he sent it to her, and she kept it for 39 years. And so that, with me talking about the Super Bowl and talking about how things were in Mississippi and how things were in the South with Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and the civil rights workers getting killed in Mississippi, and just talking about what people were actually losing their lives, and for people to take a stand like that's how it began, and that's not only hers and our story, but educators, I wanted them to be recognized because the education field make all other careers possible.
Right. Well, the awesome thing about that, too, is that this was a white female who had come into the black community,
mm-hmm.
and was taking a considerable amount of heat from her own community that she chose to educate black children. Is that right?
And just quickly here, Dave, the whole message is about character. And so by her coming in, it wasn't so much about black and white, but the documentary talks about how love can overcome opposition. And
yes.
So, and it's about character. And so when you see a person who's true to their character, it doesn't matter what race that they are. And so what she was able to show us is not about the color of your skin, which Martin Luther King was saying. It's about
yes.
The content of your character. And so
yes.
what we're doing in these schools are mostly there are character development programs, and people they're getting a chance to walk into the, what we have is a legacy center. And in the legacy
mm-hmm.
center, it has my high school teammates, my college teammates, college pros, and everybody who has come back to help out the next generation of students. And
that's
so
awesome.
we'll get a chance to talk more about it.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, and we're going to have you back on the show. We'll give you an entire hour to dissect it all for us. But before you get away, Ty, if you would, tell our audience how we can help you. I understand that your program, well, I know for a fact, is being copycatted all across the country. But that legacy program that you're doing right now, I think is going to become a centerpiece, along with the documentary, The Value of a Teacher. And then this Urban Teaching Academy, where you guys have developed a curriculum that is now being used from the ninth grade through their graduation from high school, where kids who have determined that they want to go into the world of education can begin to develop themselves through a curriculum that is specific to education. So how can our listening audience help you? Give us your website and give us information as to what your needs are as it pertains to the foundation.
Okay, first and foremost, these are students who will be graduating, going off to college, and what we are doing is we have raised a lot of monies to support them on their tuition part of it. Now, what is
okay.
lacking is the book money and the travel money, and the book money is approximately $500 a semester, and and those are the types of things that we can do to support the students as they go off to complete their education and come back. Now, the other thing that you can do is to share on my website and on my email instrumental story of a teacher who made an impact and was a game changer in your life.
Okay.
And we like to post those types of stories because teachers do not get enough credit. We do not affirm them for the work that they do as a society. I mean, we just take them for granted. And now since I'm in the school system on a daily basis, they are working with hundreds of students and their families, and the pay that they get is not much. And so if any type of thing that those stories that we're getting from other people, they encourage teachers. They encourage teachers because that's basically the number one reward that they receive. And
okay,
so
what's your website then that they can go to give you those stories? Because I know that our listening audience will most certainly bless you with a number of stories, a myriad of stories, as it pertains to teachers and educators who made an impact in their lives. What's your website?
Okay, I'm just going to give you my email first and foremost. It's TyroneKeys98 at gmail.com. TyroneKeys98@gmail.com.
Okay.
And then my website is allsportscommunity.org.
And that's allsportscommunity.org. All right. And of course, to our listening audience, Keys is K-E-Y-S.
Yes.
And Ty, man, it's so good to have you on the show. I want to thank you again. And we're going to have you back on sometime over the next 4 to 5 weeks or so, and we'll sit down for the entire hour because, you know, our audience needs to know what's happening, and we can dig a little bit deeper and talk more, too, about the recognition that you received at the White House, all right?
Sounds good. And I will see you on the 24th at the reunion, correct?
November the 5th.
Well,
oh,
they got
right.
another
October
one. They bring it up on the field on October 24th against the Redskins.
That's right. I'm not certain whether I'm going to be there or not, because I definitely have to be back in Florida on the 25th, but I've not ruled it out. But if not, I will see you at our 25th anniversary celebration of the Super Bowl on November 4th and 5th in Chicago for Glory Day. Looking forward to it.
Okay, my brother. Okay.
All right. Hey, man, thank you for joining us.
Anytime.
Okay, take care. That was Tyrone Keyes of the Off-Guard Community Services Group out of Tampa, Florida. He's making a difference in people's lives, and we are certainly glad to have had him on with us. We're going to go away just for a moment, pay some bills. When we come back, we still have Ray Ellis with us. And we've got Gil Tyree holding in queue, and we've got a number of things to discuss yet. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice of America Sports.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you sportsmanlike conduct. As a current player, Dez Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Entrepreneurial Insights is your weekly excursion into the world of business ownership. Presented by Sunbelt Business Brokers, the leading business brokerage and intermediary firm in the world, Entrepreneurial Insights will examine critical issues that impact both existing and prospective business owners. If you own or want to own a small business, listen for Entrepreneurial Insights with John Davies, Pino Bocchinello, and Matt Ottaway. Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Up goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're tuned in to Double Time with Double D featuring host Dave Duerson. Get in on the action. Call us now at 1-888-346-9144. For Double D, that's 888-346-9144. Or drop an email to DoubleDFans@ddfavor.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Double Time with Double D. I'm your host, Dave Duerson. And we've had a great and spirited conversation with Ray Ellis. And also with Tyrone Keyes, TKO of the Chicago Bears, part of our 25th anniversary Super Bowl champion team, who's doing some incredible work in the Tampa Bay area of Florida with All-Star Community Services. And joining me right now is the Emmy Award-winning CBS sports analyst, the bomb, the butterscotch, Gil Tyree. Good to have you on, man. Welcome to Double Time with Double D.
Dave, it's been a while. It's been a while, but it's always good to spend some time with you. And, you know, we got a lot to talk about, you know.
Absolutely.
And, your interviews with Tyrone, I was telling you during the break, your interviews with Tyrone and Ray are phenomenal. And, you know, I'm looking forward to joining you guys in the Voice America Sports.com family. It's a great group of guys, and I really, really mean this when I say it. Guys that have a future, and I really believe that are going to be – in my opinion, are going to be the guys who are going to ultimately control what's going on the airwaves. I think Ray's done an outstanding job, and, you know, I'm glad to be a part of a great group.
Amen. Amen. Glad to have you with us, man. And, yeah, You know, we intend to blow Voice America Sports up to the point that it's not only internet-based radio, but that it becomes terrestrial radio that
right.
folks have to hear as well.
Well, people want to talk about issues, and nobody can talk about it better. You know, people are tired of talking about booty calls and all of that
right.
stuff. They want to
right.
talk about what's going on. They're tired of personal attacks. They want to talk about issues. And like I said, I commend Ray. I commend Jeff, the group that's put together with VoiceAmericaSports.com and what they're doing. And that is the future. And clearly
absolutely.
You guys are going to be a big part of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited, too, because, you know, we bring it to you uncut. And that I think that's what the listening audience needs to hear. And so, you know, along those very, very lines, Gil, perfect segue for us to get into coaches on the hot seat. And I wanted to fire out some names at you and get your thoughts in regards to those coaches on the hot seat. My number one guy is my teammate,
mm-hmm.
and he's an incredible individual. I have Mike Singletary, who is the head football coach of the San Francisco 49ers, sitting at the top of my coaches who are on the hot seat. And I had the 49ers picked as the team that the NFC, the Super Bowl representative, would have to play through.
Mm-hmm.
That the way the schedule was set up for the 49ers, particularly early on for them, and the teams that they play out of the division and out of the conference, that it was a perfect setup for the 49ers to control their own destiny. And here they sit 0-4,
mm-hmm.
and they're not having any fun.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because I had a chance to see them play. They were here in Atlanta, you know, last week, and they should have beaten the Falcons and had them on the road. But, you know, the great play by Roddy White to create the fumble and ultimately led to the Bryant field goal, which won it. But, you know, you look at what's going on with Mike, and, you know, Mike is a guy, and you, like you said, you played with him. You cut his teeth under Dave McGinnis with the Bears, Mike Ditka, all of that, Buddy Ryan and what have you. And here's a guy that you always say, well, why hasn't it worked?
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, the days of how you coach have changed, and I think Mike has really encountered that, and he's been given every opportunity to succeed. He'll be definitely under the microscope this Sunday night because they play the Philadelphia Eagles. It's an NBC game, and that's going to be the national spotlight, and I'm sure that, you know, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth will be discussing that. But at the same time, you look at what's going on. I mean, I look at guys, and Dave, you know this well because you played in this league, but guys talk. I mean, one of my favorite guys who he is up there with you when I look at guys is Takeo Spikes. Takeo plays for the 49ers, and I noticed that he hasn't been happy. You've had defections with guys like Michael Lewis, Kenneth Darby, who was going to be a great player inside that system. You know, guys that have played, you know, inside with the 49ers and what have you, you know, have left. And you look at what's going on, you say, well, what's going on now? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Absolutely.
And these are the things that, and I'm sorry, not Kenneth Darby. Kenneth plays for the Rams. I'm talking about Glenn Coffey. You know, guys that have played within that system who've ultimately defected and left because of Mike's, you know, refusing to work with them. And he's definitely under the hot seat. I think you got to look at what's going on in Carolina with John Fox. I think
yep.
he's in trouble. You know, I think Schwartz is safe right now at Detroit. You know, and I feel the same way. I'm a little concerned about what's going on with Buffalo and Chan Gailey. You know, these are jobs that you really got to look at it as you move forward and guys that are in trouble.
Yeah, well, in fact, my list, other than Singletary, my second on my list is Wade Phillips. Third is actually Lovie Smith. And then fourth, I've got Brad Childress.
I would all
Vikings.
Well, I'd keep an eye. I think Lovie is safe right now. I mean, the situation, and you know this situation better than I do because you're close and you know you have friends inside the organization. You played with them. You know, I don't know with the concussion of Cutler. That may be a bridge to some way, but you know, Mike Martz is there. And he's somebody to look at. There's another situation I'd keep an eye on, too. I'd keep an eye on Jim Caldwell in Indianapolis.
Right.
I'd really take a look at that situation. You know, there's some things that, you know, the loss to Jacksonville last week is something that, and they've had some problems. And ever since, you know, Tony has left them. You just see things. You see things with Peyton. You know, Peyton Manning will never go and say what's on his mind in terms of going out and throwing people under the bus, but you just see the body language. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you see the stuff on the sidelines and all of that. And I would keep, but definitely the ones you said, I would keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, in regards to Lovie Smith, now, you know, a win is a win, but there's something to be said for winning ugly. But, you know, let's face it, the Bears lost to the Detroit Lions.
Correct,
period.
Correct.
And the Green Bay Packers played like the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
They had 19 penalties. I've never seen a Green Bay coach football team be as undisciplined as the Packers were, and you know, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, takes the hit for that.
And you know, the ownership goes out and spends a lot of money. You go out, you know, and the McCaskey family is going out and really got involved in the free agency, and bringing Julius Peppers over. You know, Urlacher is healthy again. And, you know, so much is predicated with Chicago, so much is talked about, predicated in terms of their defense. But, you know, the offense just needs to click. And I mean, you mortgage your future when you go out and you make a trade for Jay Cutler. And I covered Jay when he played at Vanderbilt in the Southeastern Conference. And I really don't understand why he hasn't advanced the way he should. I mean, I thought he was a franchise quarterback. I saw two quarterbacks in the SEC during that period of time that I thought were outstanding. He was one of them, and Matthew Stafford, who's now at Detroit, was the other. And and for some reason, I just do not understand why he has not developed the way he should.
I was just in Chicago over the weekend, and of course, I had an opportunity to talk with some of my former teammates and with a couple of the current guys and some fans.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me that Jay Cutler is a prima donna. Mm-hmm. He's a prima donna when he's out in public.
That's been a knock. You know, that was a knock on him in Denver, that he was a diva.
Yeah.
And,
he's,
you know, when you have that tag on you, it's hard to shed it. It's really hard to get rid of that. And,
yeah,
you know, you want to see him succeed.
He's not a locker room favorite either.
I mean, they go out, they bring in, they brought in Chris Williams, who played with him at Vanderbilt. They brought in Earl Bennett as a short yardage receiver who played with him at Vanderbilt. Guys who knew and played with him and had a feel for him. And they're with him in Chicago, and it still hasn't worked. And like I said, I think the world of Jay Cutler. I really, really do. Like I said, I had a chance to cover him, had a chance to spend some time with him, and I just don't understand. And it's a mystery to me, Dave, why. And if it doesn't work in Chicago, what do you do now? Because you've
right.
mortgaged your future for a guy who's really come in and had problems last year. You brought in an offensive coordinator, a new one in Mike Martz. You know, you're trying to adapt. You know, why you haven't been able to find ways to get it going. And, you know, and ultimately ownership, and you know the McCaskey family, I mean, they take
Absolutely.
A look at these things. And ultimately it's Jerry Angelo and it's Lovie Smith who are being watched and monitored.
There's no question about it. The Bears are always hedging their bets, and bringing in Mike Martz
mm-hmm.
is their security blanket. That if Lovie Smith doesn't get it done,
right,
Mike Martz will be the head coach next
no
year.
Question,
well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Mike Martz will be the Bears' head coach next year.
Exactly, and not only that, but you have two ex-head coaches on your staff. You got Rod Marinelli, and you have Mike Martz, and all these guys, they know each other. They go back to the days when they worked for Larry Marmy at Arizona State. I mean,
right.
these guys always go back, and you look at all of these guys that are basically our West Coast guys who work together. Rod was at Cal. You know, Mike was at offensive coordinator at Arizona State as well. You throw in Herm Edwards, who did his time, you know, at Cal State Fullerton. So all of that being said, you got guys that know each other. So if it doesn't work, Dave, then, you know, Lovie has he has nobody but to blame but himself.
Absolutely.
Okay,
Absolutely.
And they're going to replace him in the New York Minute. I believe they'll blow out Jerry Angelo, too. It's a package.
Absolutely. I think it's going to happen. So, you know, here we are. Only one quarter of the way through the season, and my teammate Mike Singletary is seriously on the bubble. I think these next 2 weeks are critical for him.
I think Sunday night is critical for him. I think if they go to 0-5, you got to realize right now, Dave, you look at that division. Let's take a look at that Western division. Everybody's struggling. Seattle can't win. St. Louis is right now playing the best of everybody. Arizona just made a change at quarterback at Max Hall, who formerly went to BYU and played at Mesa Mountain View, and he's your starting quarterback going up against the New Orleans Saints, the world champion Saints, come to the Valley, And Max Hall is your starting quarterback because you've lost confidence in Anderson. Well, so all of that being said, St. Louis right now playing well with Bradford, and then you have the 49ers struggling, and then you have the Cardinals struggling, and Seattle's in a state of flux. Anybody can win that division right now. And don't think for a minute that San Francisco doesn't see that, and they said, listen, if we got to get this locker room turned around and Mike Singletary has to be the fall guy, we're going to chop his neck off and we're going to bring somebody in who's going to get it done.
Absolutely. In fact, that's why I said earlier that I had picked at the beginning of the season for the NFC representative to have to go through San Francisco to get to the Super Bowl. This particular season and the 49ers schedule was set up for Mike Singletary to be successful. And for him to be 0-4 right now is tough for me to take.
Well, you know, the thing about the 49ers, and let's be honest, I mean, their quarterback situation is awful. I mean, Alex Smith has been a disaster. Then they bring in Michael Crabtree, who was all-world coming out of Texas Tech, and for some reason they couldn't get him going. They install Jimmy Ray as offensive coordinator, and I love Jimmy to no end, but Jimmy's ways are antiquated. Now they bring in Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson was his quarterback's coach here in Atlanta. He coached Mike Vick. He has a good feel for the game. He's a young guy, went to Oregon State, understands the transition from new players to what we're dealing with today in terms of the generational aspect, and you install him as offensive coordinator, and it has to work. If it doesn't work, then you know what? You cut ties and you move on. It's just as simple as that.
That's in fact where I think we see ourselves. But aside from the coaches on the hot seat, man, I love your passion in relation to this whole thing, because I'm telling you, man, this year, Gil, has been unlike any that I've seen perhaps over the last 10. And, you know, in terms of activity on the field. Mm-hmm. But we got the same thing going on crazy off the field in regards to the owners threatening lockout. We've got eight teams already, one quarter of the teams as we find ourselves one quarter of the way through the NFL season, who have already voted to decertify if, in fact, the owners vote to lock the players out come March of 2011. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that and what you've been hearing through your grapevine, because you've got great sources.
What I've heard, and like I posted this, as a matter of fact, Dave, I posted this yesterday because, you know, Demaurice Smith had met with the Packers up in Green Bay, and of course their player rep is Aaron Rodgers, and in the meantime, you know that when you meet, you're basically getting everybody prepared for what's going to happen. You know, and in this situation, there was a meeting take place, and you know, because I said this on Facebook, and I said this to look at what happened in 87, and I heard what you and Ray were talking about, and I couldn't agree with you more about because this is a GPS system as to what's going to happen next spring, okay? And you look at what's going on in terms of the lockout. Memos have been sent around the National Football League. Office staff has been on alert because this is what's going on. What you and Reggie White and Freeman McNeil accomplished, okay, basically was done when D. Smith met with the players, basically say, listen, do I have your vote and your support? Because if we do it, we're going to have to decertify the union, and then we're going to file suit. And we want to be able to get the fan support because, again, this is not only a battle from a legal standpoint in terms of the courts, Dave, but it's also a battle in terms of public opinion.
Yeah.
And what we're hearing, and all of this was brought out on my Facebook page, is that, you know, only thing I heard was billion-dollar babies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the climate out there, you look at what's going on in terms of our economy and what have you, and I agree totally with Ray. They got to get in the back room and they get something done. You cannot justify, I mean, you look at this week in the National Football League. There are at least five games that will be blacked out, okay? Blacked out because people are not going to games. And why is that? A lot of reasons. The number one, the chief reason being the economy.
Yeah.
And you have to find a way. And like you said, when you have an economic system that is so one-sided as it relates to how money is being made, people profiting, stadium deals, suite deals, deals involving the social media, what's going on in terms of the NFL network, in terms of how things are made, in terms of revenue streams, the players are in a position right now to say enough's enough, and we want a part of that pie too. Okay.
Absolutely.
In addition to that, what are they doing to take care of the guys that paved the road for them? Guys like you, guys like the late Reggie White, guys like Freeman McNeil, who put their necks on the line so you could have free agency. Okay. So as we move forward, you're going to see D. Smith meet a lot, and you're going to see this thing continued strategically. And I use the word, the key word, the operative word here is strategically. This thing is strategically going to be played out in the media to get some sort of to get some sort of temperature on which way the wind's blowing as it relates to support. And like I said, you've already seen him go to several franchises, the Green Bay Packers being the latest, in terms of telling guys and having meetings, are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have, because what happens is we're going to decertify, because then we're going to march right into court and we're going to file suit. And the owners are saying, fine, you know, do whatever you want to do. You know, we're going to the banks, we're getting loans, we're going to make sure this is taken care of, because we're going to protect ourselves, because we're not going to lose the money. We're not going to lose the TV money. We got insurance on that. And if you want to, if we're locking you out, we want a deal done. So
yeah, well,
it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out.
No doubt about it. This is a chess match, man, and we got front row seats.
But I would urge you, Dave, I would urge you, and I would urge Ray, I would urge Sean, and all of the former players, and I mean this, that are on this great, great media outlet, VoiceAmericaSports.com, to talk about it, because guys like you, like Kwame, like Damian, you know, guys who understand the nuances of what's going on, because fans need to be educated about this. Okay.
Well,
they cannot go back to 1987. You can Google that or go to Wikipedia and what have you and look, but you had to live it. You know what happened. Scabs, people crossing the picket lines. It got ugly.
Right.
Okay, it got real ugly, and we're going down. You know, history is doomed to repeat itself. Okay, and knowing the owners, and you got a lot of the old guard owners who were there back in '87. You look at the Ralph Wilsons, you look at the Ford family, you look at the Bidwells, you look at the Maras, you look at the McCaskies, you look at all of those people who understand and they know what's going on. Paul Brown family. I mean, all of them. Mike Brown. All of those people understand what happened back in the day, and I'll tell you what, they're going to guide the NFL. They're going to tell Commissioner Goodell what to do, okay?
Yeah. Well,
because these are hardline owners, and they're not going to put up with it. And then you had a player, you got D. Smith, who says, listen, we want to distance ourselves from the days of Gene Upshaw, and, you know, we want to listen to guys like Dave Dorson, you know, feel like guys like Troy Vincent, understand what's going on, because you got to get it right this time. You got to get it right. Kevin Mawai, you got to get it right.
Well, it's going to happen, no doubt about it. But I tell you what, when you start your show in a couple of weeks, make sure you have me on so we can
we're going to have a plethora of national people. Let me can I plug a couple things before I go, Dave?
We've got about 30 seconds, so go ahead and take it.
Okay, we're going to be up at Penn State this weekend for the Texas Pete Flavor Football Tour. Penn State plays Illinois, a key game in the Big Ten. We're also going to be on Keelan Johnson's show, who's going to be on Voice America. He's going to be live from Tennessee and Georgia. That is a pivotal game, and I urge people to call into that show on Saturday, because that's a big game for both programs. Mark Richt, the head coach of Georgia, on the hot seat right now. And go to PositiveClub.com. Check out the webpage. In addition, I'm doing stuff with GPB, Georgia Public Broadcasting, with high school football. So there it is.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Scott. Gil Tyree joining us.
Take care. We also
had Ray Ellis and Tyrone Keyes. Hey, thank you, fans, for joining us for Double Time with Double D, because, of course, without you, there'd be no Double Time. Love you. We'll talk to you again next week. Same channel, same time. Take care. Until then, God bless you.
Thanks again for joining Dave Duerson for Double Time with Double D. We'll be back again next Thursday at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, for another look inside the game, words of inspiration, and more on the Voice America Sports Channel. Game's on again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.